Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, and Steve Paisley Jordahl now joins us in studio.
Hello, everybody. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, Steve.
Thank you.
Hey, before we move on to news,
yeah,
we got some other news stories we need to cover. Did you guys see the end of the Pittsburgh Steelers and Baltimore Ravens last night?
There was a fight. I didn't watch the game, but was that the one where there was a fight?
Oh, so you tune in for the fight.
I do.
Steve?
I do. That's what it is. You don't watch hockey.
You're a good hockey fan.
That's human nature, I guess, isn't it? Hey, no, I have a point to this, not just the game itself, but I watched the end of the game.
Okay.
Okay, so these two teams, the Steelers and the Ravens.
It's a win and end.
That's right.
Playoff spot on
that's
them.
Right. They're playing for, I think, their division and a spot in the playoffs, the NFL playoffs. And the team that doesn't win goes home.
Yeah.
No playoffs for them. So a lot on the line. And it gets to the last minute of the game. And Pittsburgh, Aaron Rodgers, you know, Moses.
Yeah.
You know, he's out there with his staff.
Right, exactly.
Okay. So Aaron Rodgers is out there quarterbacking the Pittsburgh Steelers. And then he leads them to a touchdown to take the lead by 2 points with 55 seconds to go in the game. This game is at Pittsburgh, okay? So the field goal kicker for the Steelers trots out there, and he hasn't missed a field goal. He hasn't missed an extra point all year long, they say. I think I got this right. All year. Hadn't missed one since last year, an extra point. This guy's Mr. Automatic.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, keep in mind, it's a two-point game. If he makes it, it puts him up three.
Yeah.
55 seconds to go. Well, he misses. He misses. The extra point goes off to the – sails off to the right. It was a bad – it looked terrible. I could have done as good as he did on that kick. So he misses the extra point. So the drama increases because now all Baltimore needs is a field goal to win. And advance to the playoffs and send all the Pittsburgh Steelers fans home sad, you know.
This is in Pittsburgh?
It's in Pittsburgh. So the crowd just goes silent, you know, because we can't believe what we just saw. Our field goal kicker missed an extra point, and that never happens.
Yeah.
Okay. So everybody's stunned. Well, Baltimore gets the ball, and they drive down. They have a good kick return. Then they – 4th and 7 on midfield, and that Lamar Jackson, the quarterback, he like throws a great pass. They get down to the like 25-yard line.
Oh my goodness!
Oh yeah, on 4th and 7, so out trots this kicker for Baltimore, and he's got a 44-yarder, which is easy for an NFL kicker, right? That's what they do that in their sleep. However, he's a rookie. Okay, you see what's about to happen here?
I am watching this at lunch.
So this kicker, there's no time left on the clock, like 3 seconds left on the clock to be able to kick a field goal. So they trot out. Everybody expects, well, he's going to make it, and the game's over because NFL kickers make 44-yarders all day, every day. They don't miss them hard. I mean, like maybe 1 out of 10 or something like that. So the field goal kicker for Baltimore, he's a rookie. He gets out there and he misses bad, way off. He's like a dying quail.
Wasn't tipped or anything?
No. He just flat out didn't even come close to making it at all. Now I don't know if that's because of he just hit it wrong or the pressure got to him. Because can you imagine the pressure on this? My point is. You watch 60 minutes of football with 300 pounders out there slamming each other to the ground, right? Just brutal. And it all comes down to the 5'10", 155-pound
kicker
to win or lose the game.
For the playoffs.
I just thought, I don't know what metaphor that would make, but to think that the all that blood, sweat, and tears goes comes down to the little fellow over there who just practices his kicking by himself the whole game.
Yeah.
And your whole season hinges on him.
Who's playing Candy Crush on his phone during the game.
I know. Anyway, so.
Well, I am so watching the end of that game.
I'll find it
on YouTube.
So anyway, the bottom line was the Pittsburgh Steelers advance to play in the playoffs because of this. You should have seen the look on Aaron Rodgers' gray beard face when they won the game.
I just looked him up. He's 42 years old.
Who, Aaron Rodgers?
Aaron Rodgers.
How long did Tom Brady play? What age was he?
He was maybe 40. Was he?
Oh, he was over 40.
I mean, no, but I was going to say 40.
Yeah, how old was he when he retired, though, Tom Brady? I'm talking about, you know, George Blanda is the oldest.
I remember seeing him.
He was 50 or something.
He was back in the 70s.
He was a kicker and a backup quarterback. Yeah.
And I saw him do both.
How old was Tom Brady when he retired?
Tom Brady retired from the NFL for good at the age of 45 after completing his 23rd season. He had retired at age 44 and then came back.
So Aaron Rodgers had three more years to get to Brady status on the age. All right.
Well, Brady didn't look 45. Aaron Rodgers looks 42.
Yeah, he definitely got some wear on him. All right, you're listening to today's issues. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, I'm just going to say the Pittsburgh Steelers will be playing the Houston Texans. We're used to hearing players say, I want to give glory to God, thanks to God. Sometimes they say thanks to God and my Savior Jesus Christ, and they go on. I got to tell you, there is a class of NFL players now that have gone deep into their faith. C.J. Stroud, the quarterback of the Houston Texans, is one of them. He was asked about his testimony at a press conference. This is what he said, cut 20.
Talking about that, do you not feel like that the testimony that you and D'Amico and all the players are giving, that I know everybody says, oh, God doesn't care about football, but that he is blessing you guys because of the testimony that you're giving this season?
I don't want it to ever be confused. I don't think God is like, the Texans are going to win. But I think regardless of win or loss, he gets the glory. And that's up to us, you know, and that's just worship. And I think, you know, him giving us our talents, our abilities, and these jobs, you know, he's, you know, more than worthy of all the worship. And that's just really why we do what we do. It's not because we want favor from the Lord, even though, you know, that would be nice. But I think, you know, in my opinion, you don't just get favor from the Lord because you just give him glory, but he deserves it and he's worthy of it. And I look back on my life, he's been faithful. But yeah, it's just not because we all follow Jesus that we just win every game, but regardless on, and I think it shows the world when you lose and you do not doing well, how you profess your faith or, you know, you go about your life when things aren't going great is the testimony and really the testament of your faith and, you know, your journey and your witness to everybody else.
So that is C.J. Stroud?
Yes.
The quarterback, starting quarterback for the Houston Texans?
Yes, sir.
That was a very mature answer.
Yeah.
I agree.
Because a lot of times that question is thrown around and you get the roll your eyes answers. You know, come on, man. That's God doesn't, like God's chosen which football team he wants to win and which player he wants to do well. And that's what he was saying right there, C.J. Stroud. Well, we all heard him. He was saying, "No, that's all. That the most important thing is worshiping Christ." That's what he was saying.
I loved his answer.
Yeah.
To your point, you don't ever want it to just become run of the mill. This is what Christians are supposed to say. But it kind of answers the question when people might say, do you thank God when you lose? Okay, he's saying, listen, this is not about
winning,
thanking God because we won or because we lost. We're thanking God because that's what you do when you worship him.
Right.
I mean, listen, these are young men who get the privilege of playing football, in this case football, at a high level.
Do you know, even if you lose,
I'm having the time of my life.
Let me just say this too. You know, the Bible says humankind is susceptible to all kinds of sins, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that in the Bible?
It, maybe not those exact words, but the sentiment certainly is.
Yeah, I remember I wrote a column recently on the seven deadly sins. I mean, they're, what I'm saying is one of them, which is right at the top of the list, is arrogance.
Pride.
Yeah. Pride related to arrogance.
Yeah.
But pride, human pride, is one of the leading sins in the Bible, if not the leading sin in the Bible.
I'm glad I don't have that problem. Yeah. You know, I've risen above it. But right. Go ahead.
Yes.
I understand your point.
my point is to hear such words coming from this young man. He's still a young man in my eyes. I mean, he's in his 20s, but he's a grown man, but he's still a young man. Because he would have had these athletes today who make it, especially to the professional level. I mean, we know, never mind high school. When you're a sports star in high school or college or whatever, but this guy, this gentleman here, Stroud, it has reached the pinnacle of his profession, and he is. So you hear all day, every day, how great you are. Now, they have, unless you play bad.
Right, then you hear how bad you are.
Then you hear how bad you are. But you know what I'm saying. Yeah. The adulation that these athletes get from people and the average person out there and the fans is would give anybody the big head.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and you would think, well, I'm a god in my own right.
Right.
See, and that does happen. With a lot of them, they become, superstars in their own mind, and it leads them to all kinds of problems.
Right.
But so to hear somebody like him have a biblical perspective on his status of life and the fact that God isn't concerned about who wins or loses, but rather.
That he gets the glory.
That he gets the glory because he's worthy of the worship from.
And that's why I think it was a very wise answer. Shows maturity on his part.
Right. So.
By the way, let me just toss this one quick thing and then we can move on. When I was growing up, I don't remember any. And I was not a Christian growing up. I've said that on the air many times. But I don't ever remember any athlete coming out and talking about their relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe Bobby Thompson was the only one I kind of had heard something about.
New York Yankees?
Being a Christian. I remember him being on the Wheaties box and stuff. But nowadays, you have a lot of athletes who will openly talk about their relationship with Jesus Christ and give God praise and glory. And I just think that's a good thing.
Yeah,
That's a good change that's occurred. That's all I want to say about that.
All right. Well, we have an announcement to make. The former vice presidential candidate on the Democrat ticket, along with Kamala Harris, Mr. Tim Walz, Governor Tim Walz, has made an announcement. He is not going to seek a third term. His decision not to seek a third term, he says, every minute I spend defending my own political interest would be a minute I can't spend defending the people of Minnesota. What does he have to defend against? A $9 billion scandal, welfare scandal in Minneapolis. It's estimated in December 2025, the first U.S. Assistant Attorney Joe Thompson stated that half or more of the $18 billion in Medicaid funds supporting 14 Minnesota-run programs since 2018 may have been stolen.
So he was going to run, and now he's decided not to. Is
that
true? That
is correct, yes.
Well, he's not going to because he doesn't want to answer all the questions if he can't help it and just bow out and try to escape the scrutiny and the accountability that will come. Because if he's running again, he's going to be asked about that all the time, and new developments and news stories are going to break about it because there's already been 90 indictments.
Yeah, I'm looking at an article on American Family News says more than 100 people have already been indicted. To your point, Tim, that number is probably going to only swell as this person says, well, that they helped, and there may wind up being hundreds of people indicted These are mostly Somali-run child care centers and other entities, I'm quoting from our own news story here, that have been illegally getting billions of dollars in federal funding and, in a lot of cases, shipping this money to terrorist organizations.
A lot of it goes back to Somalia, and some of it goes directly into Al-Shabaab.
I don't want to bore people with going over how this worked again, but I'll be quick. So the federal government, the United States federal government, sends money to states for all kinds of reasons. I've never quite understood that, because you send your dollar to Washington, they take 50 cents out, then they send 50 cents back to you of your dollar, and you're supposed to be thankful.
Right.
I've never quite understood how that works exactly. I know it's not that simple, but that's how it seemingly works sometimes. However, so the federal government sends grant money all over the country for various and sundry projects. And in this case, they sent it to Minnesota to help with paying for daycare for Somali immigrant children.
And other issues.
And other issues. So what happened was some of these Somali immigrant daycare centers were in name only, and they didn't have any kids in them. And yet they were getting money. They applied for grants, they got money, and they didn't do any work. They really weren't housing, they weren't teaching the kids. So that's what they were busted for, right? I don't know how many daycare centers, how many people involved, but 90-plus people have been indicted by the feds over this. So that's what the scandal is. How does Governor Tim Walz enter in here? It's because once the federal government sends money to the state, in this case Minnesota, then the state is responsible for dispensing the money and administering the program. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so where Tim Walz is involved, he hasn't been indicted, but they're saying that the critics are saying that he knew all along that this shell game and this theft was going on, but he didn't say anything or do anything because he didn't want to upset the Somali community, because they might turn on him and not vote for him in the election, because they almost all vote Democrat and he's a Democrat. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So now he's decided just to back away and not run. I think, again, hoping that this all blows over, or that he's not caught. He's not having to answer questions about it all the time because he's running for a third term. By the way, I just don't think, I know each state decides for itself. I don't think three terms. I don't think, can you run for the mayor of the governor of Minnesota,
I don't know,
unlimited?
If there's a term limit.
It seems like to me two terms is enough. It's like the presidency, two terms, two consecutive terms at least is enough.
If you can't get done what you wanted to get
done. In 8 years?
Yeah, in 8 years.
But also you tend to build up power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you go beyond 8 years as the CEO of a state, you're listening. Go ahead.
Breaking news.
Yeah, breaking news.
Nicolas Maduro has pleaded not guilty in his arraignment this morning.
Who's his public defendant?
That I have not read yet. I don't know. I don't know if it is a public defendant. He's got a lot of money. I don't know if he has access to it to buy a lawyer, but they have.
What was that drug dealer that we captured and put in jail about 2 years ago, 3 years ago? The big drug kingpin from Mexico.
Oh,
you're talking about Pablo Escobar. That was years ago.
No, it was kind of a couple of years ago. It was in the news.
Okay,
everywhere. He was a big drug lord, and he was captured, and he went to jail in New York, I think.
Thanos?
Maybe in Rikers.
You talking about Thanos in the Marvel Cinematic Universe? That was Iron Man.
No.
Iron Man finished him off.
Oh, yeah. I'm stalling. I'm talking real world here, so Steve can find it.
Barry Pollack is Nicolas Maduro's lawyer. He represented Julian Assange.
Okay.
He is known for his famous wins.
I'm still on the drug kingpin that we...
Sorry.
Read. Oh, I thought that's what you were...
El Chapo?
Yes.
Oh, El Chapo.
Yes.
Brent Creeley chimes in.
There you go.
El Chapo. Isn't that a great name for a drug kingpin, though?
El Chapo.
Huh? What was his name? El what?
El Chapo.
I like
Chapo. Are you serious? El Chapo. Wow. Okay.
I like going to El Chapo. It's a restaurant nearby.
Right.
Mexican restaurant.
Great Mexican food, right?
Great Mexican food.
Anyway,
boy, what they can do with a tortilla.
The point I bring up him is, was he given a lawyer?
I think
he went to prison.
Steve's point, these guys with all kinds of money from illegal enterprises, they can afford their own lawyer, whether or not they're going to win or not.
I wonder if this guy a high-profile defense lawyer?
Yes, El Chapo Guzman.
Okay, yeah. Well, somebody like him may do it pro bono just because they get the attention and they get the limelight, or they believe in the cause, so to speak. That you do find that from time to time, because if you represent somebody like Maduro, I mean, you can write a book, sell rights to a movie. I don't know. You can make money a lot of different ways if you want to.
Joaquin also, El Chapo Guzman.
That's the lawyer's name?
No.
No, that's Jeffrey Lichtman was the most prominent lawyer associated with his case, served as his lead defense attorney. I'm reading directly from the AI-generated answer provided by Brave.
Yeah. Anyway, but these defense lawyers sometimes will take cases to get their name out there to promote their firm.
I don't know. Barry Pollock probably doesn't need the money. I know Nicolas Maduro has the money, and he probably.
But does he have access? Do you have access to money when you're in federal custody?
That's a good question. I mean, does he have access?
Go to the ATM. Hey, take me by the ATM on the way to the pen.
By the way, Jeffrey Lichtman, who was
I can use my pen.
The lead attorney for El Chapo, this said he's a New York-based criminal defense attorney, known for representing high-profile clients such as John Gotti Jr., that noted mafia mob boss, The Game, and Fat Joe. He defended Fat Joe. I have no idea.
Barry Pollock?
No, I'm talking about Jeffrey Lichtman.
Oh.
He defended Fat Joe?
John Gotti and Fat Joe.
Did he get him off?
I don't know. Fat Joe, I got to look this up.
Why do I see
more lunchtime reading?
Yeah. Fat Joe should be given new nickname.
That's fat shaming, isn't it?
That's hurtful.
Yeah.
We don't do that anymore, though, since Ozempic. That's a whole story for another day. Barry Pollock is the lawyer, and he represented Julian Assange. He got him released.
He did?
Yes, he did.
This is for the WikiLeaks dump?
Yeah.
Fat Joe.
Fat Joe, Joseph Antonio Cartagena, better known by his stage name Fat Joe.
Was
an American rapper, songwriter, actor, record producer, and record executive. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. I just thought it was funny. Your nickname's Fat Joe.
Yeah, unless it's you. But right. I guess he owned it, didn't he? He liked that, probably. Because some of those
Doesn't look especially
some of those
fat,
rappers, they'll name themselves after their physical looks. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. We are just about out of time here. Well, there's the music, so we are out of time. We thank you for yours. Appreciate it, Steve.
My pleasure.
Well, thanks to Fred Jackson, Brent Creeley, our producer, Cole Green, who runs the video machine in there.
Ed Vitagliano.
Ed Vitagliano. I was going to thank you.
Gee whiz.
I was going to thank you last. I was going to say last but least.
Last and least.
My bad. I meant to say not last and not least, but not least. Mr. Ed Vitagliano, everybody. Otherwise known as Fat Eddie.
Oh, yeah. How do you go there?
Eddie Spaghetti.
I knew that was coming. As soon as I said Fat Joe.
No. Ed's... I'd just say you're a normal-looking fella.
Oh, man. Now you're outright lying.
Average.
All right, we'll be back tomorrow, everybody. Have a great afternoon. Keep listening to AFR.